From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, a very good morning to you.
Yeah, morning, Mike.
Were you one of those 50-pluses nodding
two
your
and
head?
A half hour. No? Yeah, mate. 2.5 hours in the presence of greatness last night, Mike.
Was it good out of 10? It was a 10 or a 12?
Oh, look, I'd go again tonight if I could. Unmarkable. Brilliant.
Good on you.
Brilliant.
Did they play,
sheer genius.
Did they play Desperado?
Right at the end.
That's the way to go. Go out with the best,
but
that's
the highlight,
what I say.
The highlight for me was 71-year-old Joe Walsh, his rendition of In the City, the guitar solo. That is a memory I will cherish, Mike.
He's still got it, clearly, for a man who's done just a phenomenal amount of drugs.
Yeah, but New Zealand helped turn him off it. Did you know that?
Yes,
back
I did.
In the 90s.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right, Reserve Bank, and where we're all heading with this. You say, I assume you saw the Standard & Poor's warning yesterday as well about all of this.
Yeah. So, look, we talked about the comments that the Reserve Bank Governor, Deputy Governor, made to reporters on Friday, and that was followed yesterday by the on-the-record speech. This is regarding safer banks. So, Mike, they're consulting with the market at the moment about their proposals for higher levels of capital, but it's very clear from their speech yesterday that this is coming in whether the banks like it or not. I mean, they have a very strong view that the banks require more capital, and they compared bank balance sheets yesterday, Mike, to the structures, the balance sheet structures of local companies, property trusts, and Mike, they're clearly going to be more geared. This is because banks act as financial intermediaries. That's not what other companies do, but they talked about the moral hazard of banking, that they're more likely to get bailed out, and they point out that the cost of bank failures includes a high level of social and human costs. And Mike, I think this is feeding into the debate about the role of the central bank, and there's a range of views as to how much the sort of central bank should insert itself into this type of discussion. And look, and I think that's a reasonable debate. Then you can't argue, though, with the view that the time to make balance sheets more robust is when things are going well. I mean, you don't fix the roof while it's raining. You do it before it's raining. But their proposals, while they're not extreme at the headline level, I mean, we've got similar headline expected levels of capital that say that are being proposed in Australia, but they're being very tough on what constitutes capital. So they want pure capital in the banks, not sort of quasi-capital preference shares, which will be allowed in the Australian context. But the real debate, I suppose, Mike, is how much this will push up retail interest rates. Will it push 20 to 40 points on your mortgage? Or, as some people think, will it put over 100 points,
wow,
a full percentage on your mortgage, which is being pointed out? Then you've also got to ask a couple of questions. They've done a lot of stress tests historically, which say that the bank's system is robust. And now they're saying that they need more capital. So, look, I think it's a very interesting debate, but make no bones about it, your mortgage rates will go up.
All right, good warning, good flag. This China thing looks increasingly positive, doesn't it?
Yeah, we're inching towards agreement between US and China. We've got that 1 March deadline. It's been set aside by Trump, and we're looking forward now to a major signing summit at some stage between Trump and Xi Jinping, and that's going to be a major public relations sort of exercise, isn't it? And look, I've been talking recently about my concerns over the extent of the growth and economic slowdown in China. And remember, it's one of our biggest trading partners, our main source of growth. And there's been some scary sort of numbers coming out of China with plummeting car sales, weak retail sales, concerns over the housing market. But yesterday I picked up something that a Wall Street Journal put out, and they're looking at things that maybe the sentiment is proving and maybe some of the economic indicators are turning around. I can't stress how important this is for our trade outcomes, and I think NZIER made this point about China and our growth rates over and the impact it'll have on our growth rate. But the renminbi, that's the Chinese currency traded in global markets, that's trading higher. We've seen big gains in Chinese share markets. It's up 20% from the mid-January lows there. China imports from the US, they're down 40% from a year ago. Some signs that's bottoming out. Credit growth has rebounded, and very interesting correlation, Mike, between the prices of metals, mm-hmm, and the Chinese PMI, or the Purchasing Managers Index. Now, metal prices have turned around, so it's quite possible we'll see pickup in the Chinese PMI. So it's possible that we're going to dodge a bullet here and that we're going to get a bit of recovery out of China. It'll be absolutely fascinating to see how this pans out.
It will indeed. What are the numbers for Wednesday morning?
Dow Jones 26,091, virtually unchanged in the S&P 500, 2796, and Similarly, very little change on the NASDAQ 7550. FTSE 100, 7157, they're down 26. Nikkei 21449, down 79. Shanghai Composite down 22941. ASX 200, yesterday lost 58, 6128. And we lost 21, the NZX 50, 9323. On the currencies, against the US, 0.6887. Against the Aussie, 0.9594, 0.6052 euro, 0.5192 against the pound, 76.26 yen. Gold, $1,326. Brent crude, $65.33.
You go find the greatest hits cassette you've got and pop it in the deck for the drive to work. Good to see you, mate. Andrew Kelleher, JMI Wealth, and he and the team at jmiwealth.co.nz.